good to see everyone here tonight. Take your Bibles this evening. Turn to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 23. So good of you to come back tonight. It's always on a Sunday of a holiday weekend. You're never quite sure what the crowd's going to be like. And so I do appreciate each and every one of you, your effort to come out tonight. I hope to be a blessing to you this evening. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 23, if we could stand out of reverence to God's word. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 23. And the Bible says, "And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Let's pray. Precious Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this evening. Father, thank you for your blessings. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. God, thank you for your holy and precious word. God, I pray that you would help each and every one tonight. Lord, I pray, Lord, please make me a blessing. God, help me to encourage their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The title of my message tonight is Running to Win. Running to Win. It's been a great day. I want to thank you again for 10 good years. It's the 10th anniversary. It's your associate pastor. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate the day. I got to speak in every service today. I got kicked off the service this morning in the Sunday school teachers meeting. And then Brother Eddie Wilson was away, so I got to preach to the teenagers in Sunday school class this morning. And it was an encouragement of the 15 young people that were there. 13 of them, I had the opportunity to be their junior church pastor while they came up through the elementary school. So that was a blessing. Then from there, we went out to the church property and got to preach in the pavilion. I got to kick off a Sunday morning service in the pavilion this morning. And so I'm excited about that. Got to preach to about 73 children. We had a great day with the ultimate kickball day. And I want to give a word of thanks to all the bus workers, Brother Larry and Miss D and Ed and Liz and Brother Fred and all the ones that have helped in the Jack and Jeannie night. Without them, today would have not gone off. And thank you for your help. Thank you, especially Brother Fred, who did such a great job with the kickball game today. We got to play some kickball and push ball with the big red ball and got to get them all together. Preach a message called Life is Like a Game of Kickball. And in that message, 7 young people trusted Christ this morning. So it was an exciting day. And tonight, Pastor gave me an opportunity to preach. So I've got an opportunity to preach to every single group in this church today, the teens, the children, and now the adults. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate 10 years with Bethel Baptist Church. And I thank you really from the bottom of my heart for the opportunity to serve. I am unworthy to be your associate pastor. You are a tremendous, tremendous church. Thank you, Pastor, for your grace, your teaching, your mentoring, your care, your love for my wife and I. Thank you. But tonight, I want to encourage you to run to win. Now in the ripe old age of my mid-30s, still younger than Dave, but still in the ripe old age of my mid-30s, if the Lord has impressed anything on my heart, it is run to win. Men like Daniel, men like Joseph, men like Abraham, God has been impressing on my heart that I need to model my life after these men and to look to my Savior. Tonight, if you will, I chose 1 Corinthians 9 as a springboard text. My text tonight is actually Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. If you'll turn there this evening, I have 3 points on running to win. What does it take? What must we do to run to win? Too many Christians are not serious about their walk with Christ, nor their service for Christ. Too many Christians are spectators and not participants in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And my friends, if there's anything that Bethel Baptist Church needs tonight, that Bethel Baptist Church needs today, that Bethel Baptist Church needs tomorrow, it is men and women who will take the gospel in hand as the torch of Jesus Christ and will stand up and begin to run with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And run with the message of the love of God. To men and women, to boys and girls, we must run and be the light bearers for our Savior. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, I believe God gives us 3 salient points on running to win.
The writer of Hebrews, I believe the Apostle Paul, says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the grace that is set before us." Number one, I note that we are to look up. We are to look up. If we are going to run to win, we need to do three things. Look up, lighten up, and speed up. Amen. Point number one is we need to look up. The Bible says here, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." I believe these witnesses are the saints of God. I believe these, not only is it our pastor, the people that God has put around us, but I believe this is talking about the heavenly hosts of heaven, the watchers, the angels, the saints of God that watch and cheer us on from the portals of heaven. But going on in verse 2, look at what the Bible says. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." We need to look up. If you and I are going to run to win in the race for Jesus Christ, we need to take our eyes and we need to look up. Now, if we're looking up, that means, number one, we're not looking down on others. That in the matter of condemnation. If I am spending my time and expending my efforts in looking down on others, I am not taking my eyes and looking up at Jesus. Amen? If I am going to look up, that means I'm not only not looking down on others in condemnation, I'm not looking around on others for comparison. The Bible says that with those that compared themselves one amongst another, they were unwise. We need today to take our eyes off of one another and we need to look up. If we are going to run this race and run it to win, we need to look up. If we are not looking, if we are looking up, we are not looking down on others. We are not looking around on others, nor are we wasting our time looking inwardly at self-discovery. Now, that being said, I believe that there's a true statement. The unexamined life is not worth living. I believe the Bible says that we ought to examine ourselves, but people spend an inordinate and an unprofitable amount of time discovering themselves. Now, let me tell you about yourself. The Bible says the heart of man is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? We need to not look down. We not need to look around. We not need to look in. My friends, we need to look up at Jesus Christ today if we are going to run to win. We need to look up. Jesus, the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, my friends, what is looking up going to do for us? Number one, it's going to set my eyes on the prize. Remember that old saying in the 70s, keep your eyes on your fries? All right. I learned what that statement meant when I married my wife. If I get a set of fries, she's going to eat a lot of them. And I have to keep my eyes on my fries. But I'm not talking about that this evening. I'm talking about keeping my eyes on the prize. If I have my eyes fixed on my wonderful Savior, if I have my eyes fixed on the wonderful Savior of my life, it keeps my eyes on the prize. It keeps me focused and dedicated. It keeps me sure and steadfast. It keeps me looking unto Jesus, saying, that's my goal. That's my objective. That's the reason God saved me, is to keep my eyes on Jesus Christ. See, when I keep my eyes on Jesus Christ, it sets my eyes on the prize. It makes me realize that this life is so short. It makes me realize that all that is around me is fleeting and temporal. If I keep my eyes on Jesus Christ, it helps me to focus on the love of God and the purpose that Jesus Christ saved me. And that was to go out to a lost and dying world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Number one, it keeps, when I look up and I look at Jesus, it sets my eyes on the prize. Number two, it reminds me of my imparted potential. I preach to the young people today about the wonders of salvation. And one of the marvels of being saved is we are restored to our full potential in Jesus Christ. My friends, you and I are just not mere mortal men and women. We are men and women saved by the grace of God. Can anybody say amen tonight? You and I are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Romans says 1:16, we are believers in the power of God. You and I have been partakers of the divine nature of Jesus Christ. Keeping my eyes on Jesus Christ reminds me of my imparted potential. Jesus Christ saved me for a reason. Jesus Christ saved you for a reason. I preached to the children this morning that they were not an accident. Their parents might have told them they were an accident. Their parents may not have wanted them. They may not have chosen them. But God chose them to be born. And God has a purpose for them in their life. And God, through the wondrous work of salvation, has given me an imparted potential. And if I keep my eyes on Jesus Christ, it reminds me every day that Jesus Christ saved my soul from hell for a reason. Not so that I could just simply lollygag my way into heaven. Not simply that I could just spend my days idly frittering them away and the cares and the affections of this life. But He has given me an ability. He has given you an ability. He's given you hands to work. He's given you a voice to speak. He's given you a heart to care and a mind to think. God has given you so many wonderful, precious gifts. And if we keep our eyes on Jesus Christ, He will remind us every day of our imparted potential. See, apart from Jesus Christ, we're nothing. Robert Pofel in his own self could not have made it the last 10 years. Been a lot of ups, been a lot of downs, been a lot of good times, been a lot of bad times. But my friends, Jesus Christ has put something in my heart and soul, put a fire in my life and called me to preach. And my friends, if I keep my eyes on Jesus Christ, it reminds me of my imparted potential. And can I say to you today, you are more than just mere men and women. You are men and women saved by the grace of God, saints of heaven, heroes of the faith. Keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. And every day, Jesus Christ will do marvelous, wonderful, amazing things through you. Number three, if I keep my eyes on Jesus Christ, it keeps my accountability keenly in focus. I don't know how many of you have ever worked for a team or worked on had a part in a team, but you have a coach on that team. You have someone that you're accountable to. And let me tell you, that coach is there to encourage you and inspire you, but he's also there to give you a swift kick in the rear end when you need it. And when I keep my eyes on Jesus Christ, it keeps me keenly focused on my accountability. My friends, if there is anything that beats in my heart, that has been a theme of my ministry, is that one day I will stand before my Savior. One day I will have to give an account for what Rob Pofel did with his life. And one day you will be there too, and there will be no excuse. My friends, I don't want to stand before Jesus Christ and be ashamed. I don't want to stand before Jesus Christ having left work undone. I told the teenagers today, I want to reach my full potential for Jesus Christ. I want to wring it out like you wring out a wash, like my wife has taught me to wring out the dinner wash rag. All right, and wring out every last drop. That's what I want to do in this life. I want to wring it all out. I want to reach my full potential for Jesus Christ. And by keeping my eyes on Jesus Christ, it keeps me keenly aware of my accountability. My friends, you don't have to stand trembling and ashamed before your Savior. Jesus Christ can do great things through you every single day. You and I can surrender our life. You and I can avail ourselves to the grace of God. And we can walk with Jesus Christ victoriously every day of our life if we will choose to. If we will choose to. Which leads me to point number two. Not only must I look up, but number two, I need to lighten up. The Bible says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Paul is talking about a marathon here. A long distance race, not a sprint, but a marathon. My friends, when you look at the marathon runners, they wear as light a clothing as they can. In fact, it's immoral to watch the marathons. I don't watch them. The purpose of that is so that they're not weighted down. Number two, we need to lighten up. Now look what Paul says there. What did God inspired him to write there? Look what the Lord wrote to you and I tonight. Let us lay aside. My friends, that is a willful choice. Jesus Christ is not going to come to you tonight or tomorrow and snatch away your cares. Jesus Christ is not going to come around and snatch away your sin. The Bible says we need to lay them aside. The Bible says, casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. Who's doing the casting there? You and I are doing the casting there. Oh, I could get bitter about my mother's condition. I could be discouraged that a woman who raised me faithfully and has been a godly mother and a godly wife has been smitten and afflicted. I could get angry and bitter and upset and shake my fist at God. But my friends, I choose not to. I realize I have a loving and caring Heavenly Father who loves my mother in ways I can never fathom, who has a wonderful plan for her life. My friends, the Bible says, let us lay aside every weight. What's weighing you down today? Is it the cares of this life? Is it the things that is it your day-to-day life that keeps you from running the race for Jesus Christ? Is it an offense? Are you offended tonight? Did some man, some woman, some preacher, some Christian, some brother and sister in Christ do something or say something or not do something or not say something? My friend, we're all just sinners saved by grace. Don't ever look to Rob Pofel. Rob Pofel will let you down. The Bible says, look to Jesus. Jesus will never let you down. Are you weighted down not by the cares of this life, but fears of rejection and failure? Oh, how many people have said, hey, why don't you come out on visitation with me? Why don't you come out and go door knocking with me? And they say, oh, I'm afraid, Brother Rob. Oh, I don't know what to say, Brother Rob. Oh, I don't know what the door slammed in my face, Brother Rob. Are we weighted down? Are we hindered? Are we not running tonight because of fear of rejection and failure? The Bible says, lay it aside. No matter, I don't care what your weight is, Jesus says, lay it aside. I don't know what's holding you back tonight, but Jesus says, if you want to run the race, if you want to win, you need to lay it aside. Now, does that mean I can just sell my home and neglect my family and not go to work? No, it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that at all. God knows you have to get up every morning. God knows you have to go to work. God knows you need to be a husband and a wife and a mother and a father and a son and God or a daughter. God knows you have many roles and obligations. That means in those things, in those duties, serve the Lord. As I was reading in Daniel this last week, King Darius said, Daniel, the Lord whom thou servest continually. In his public service, here was a politician serving Christ continually in his secular job. Lay aside the cares of this life. Lay aside the fears of rejection and failure. And lay aside guilt from past failures. Oh, if the devil's going to knock you down, he's going to say, oh, you're unworthy. And yes, I am. He's going to say, oh, you're a wretch. And I say, yes, I am. But I say, you know what? Through Jesus Christ, I can. Through Jesus Christ, devil, you can take it and stick it in your ear. For he has made me worthy. Who is not worthy? I, who was an enemy of God, and now made nigh under the promises of God. The Bible says we need to lighten up, lay aside not only every weight, but the Bible says the sin which doth so easily beset us. This is the second category here. The first category was those things that we choose to encumber our life with. Those weights, those distractions, those things that we choose to do which God would not have us to do. But number two, the Bible says the sin which doth so easily beset us. If you and I are going to be hindered from the race of God, if you and I are going to be hindered as torchbearers for Jesus Christ as lights in a dark world, it is because of the sin that doth so easily beset us. I looked up that word beset. It means to enclose, to entrap, to ensnare. Those sins that wrap around us. Those sins that you just run into like a spider's web and they just wrap all around you. My friends, the Bible says we need to lay them aside. We need to choose to say, Jesus, help me this day not to sin against you. Jesus, I know maybe I have a problem with my lips. Jesus, help me not to be entangled with bad language today. Maybe it's a matter of the heart, or maybe it's a matter of the head. Maybe it's a habit you have. And say, Lord, I'm wrapped up in this sin. And God is holding me back. You and I need to, the Bible says, we need to lay it aside. We need to choose to say, God, please, I'm choosing to lay this aside. God, please help me today. God, please help me right now. My friends, the Bible says not only do we need to look up, but we need to lighten up. Oh, my friends, you and I will never run the race to win if we are weighted down with cares and with sin. If you and I are choosing to let things hold us back, if you and I are choosing to allow things to keep us from running the race for Jesus Christ, my friends, you and I will never run to win. And I don't know about you, but nothing is worth that in my life. That I want nothing to stand between me and my Savior. I don't want anything to stand, anything or anyone to stand between me and the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. My friends, not only do we need to look up, but we need to lighten up. Number three, the Bible says we need to speed up. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 12, it says in the latter part of the verse, "And let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Run. The Bible says we need to run. Not walk, but run. Not stroll, but run. There are too many spectators in the house of God today. Too many people that says, "I'll stand on the sidelines and cheer you on, brother." No, we don't need spectators. We need participators. God's not looking for people to sit on the sidelines and cheer us on. God wants people to get in the race. If you're sitting on the sidelines today, God wants you to get in the race for Him. That may be just a small part. Maybe that's sending letters of encouragement like Annie does. Maybe that's cleaning the church like so many of our ladies do. Or maybe that is taking on a Sunday school class. Or be willing to be a backup for Sunday school. I need backup Sunday school teachers for my Sunday school teachers. I need help over in Super Church. Brother Dave needs help on the buses. We need help in the school. We need help everywhere. Just we need help. Amen. Amen. Lord knows we need help. But we need to run. People ask me, "Brother Rob, how do you keep up? How do you do that life that you live? How do you work full time and serve at a church? And how do you keep up?" You just do. You choose to let things go. You choose to let some of the care, some of the things, some of the entertainment things go. You choose to say, "You know what? I want to be busy for Jesus Christ. I want to be busy morning, noon, and night." I say, I want to run. I want to run for Jesus Christ. I don't want to walk. I want to run. My friends, I'm going to ask you tonight, will you run? Will you choose to get in the race? The Bible says, look what it says there, "and the race that is set before us." See, it's a common race. It is a common race. Now, God has set a path for you. Paul said, I have run a good race. I have finished my course. See, God has set a path for you, but there is a common race. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the service of the local, independent, fundamental Baptist church that God has called you to. There is a race here that we're running. We're racing against time. The pastor says it's late, but it's later than you think. My friends, Jesus Christ is coming back one day. Yes, when I go home from church on Sunday mornings, I go home and I drop. I'm exhausted after teaching Sunday school and going over there and singing deep and wide and deep and wide, you know, and peace like a river and joy like a fountain. Let me tell you something, you get tired, you know. Done Super Church for 8 years now. You get tired after a while, but I want to run for Jesus Christ. Not only do I want to run, but the Bible says let us run with patience. My friends, a marathon isn't run in one day. A race marathon is run in one day, but this marathon is not run in one day. This is an everyday race. This is a race that you will run every day of your life as long as God gives you breath. You know, I was talking with Brother Dave this morning. This is the sweetest thing in this world, I believe, is a godly old saint who loves their wife, loves their husband, loves this life, and loves the life that God has given them. Nothing sweeter in this whole world. And conversely, there's nothing bitter, nothing nastier than a bitter old cranky person. I don't want to be that bitter old cranky person. I don't want to get to this, the end of this life, and have the cares and the sin and the problems and the heartaches make me bitter. I want to be a sweet, sweet person. I want to be a sweet saint for Jesus Christ. And I want to get up every day of my life that God gives me breath, and I want to run with patience. My friends, you don't train for a marathon overnight. It takes patience, takes practice, takes perseverance. It says, "I will get up today, and I will run today. Maybe I'll only run 1 mile today, but I'll run 1 mile. And tomorrow I'll get up, and by God's grace, I'll run another mile. And I'll keep running every day of my life." Folks, I want you to run to win. Jesus Christ wants you to run to win. Do you know why? Because souls are in the balance. Souls of men and women and boys and girls hang in the balance of what we do with what we've been given. Every head bowed and every eye closed this evening. Tonight, Pastor will give an invitation. If you are here tonight and you do not know for certainty that you are saved. If you are here this evening and you do not know 100% for sure that heaven is your eternal home, I want to challenge you. I want to beg you. I want to invite you. Come and be saved. If you are a man will come. If you are a lady will come and open their Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're going to heaven. Number two, tonight, to every Christian that's here, oh, Christian, are you running to win? Are you running to win? And if you are, I want to challenge you to look up, to lighten up, and to speed up. For truly, the souls of men and women count in the balance. Pastor.
What a great message. What a great challenge. Maybe you're tonight, as I look, most people would probably say, "Preacher, I'm saved." Amen. Are you looking up? Do you need some to lighten up a little bit? Maybe you just say, "Preacher, I've got some things in my life that are really troubling my life, and I'd like you to pray for us." Who'd say that? Just pray for me. A special need? Yes. God bless you. Tonight, whatever how God would speak to your heart, and open this invitation for any way, for any reason you'd like to come and pray, you come. Heavenly Father, I pray with all my heart that as we think about what we heard tonight, Lord, we'd be challenged to look up unto Jesus. We're running a race. Lord, we need to be a participant. And it's from practice and doing every day. Yes. It's a long run. It's a long run. Help us to stay in the race. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand.